Hi, this is Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Brides. We're so excited to have you with us today, and we have such an extraordinary guest on our show today. I am absolutely thrilled about today's show. We have a very special guest, and her name is Shelley Lefko, and I'm really honored and privileged and gifted to have her here today. We've talked about so many people that have been on this show that have tools and techniques to help the bride, to help the husband, to help the family, to help the relationship. And now we have Shelley that's actually going to be talking about how to help the child, and not just the child, but the woman herself, and how to change this. And Shelley works with a system that can erase beliefs, change your belief system, and deepen your relationships. And I've had the privilege and the honor of working with Shelley, and I can tell you firsthand, she's incredible. She's magic. She has changed my life, and so I know that she can help you. I know that she can give you the tools, the techniques, and everything that you need how to have a happier and a healthier relationship with your mate, with yourself, with your family, and especially with your children. Shelley is the co-founder and the vice president of the Let's Go Institute, and she is the founder and the president of the Possibilities Parenting Center. Which I love that, the Possibilities of Parenting Center and all that encompasses. She offers private sessions, in-person sessions, telephone sessions, and she has helped people throughout the world. And she does that using the Lefko method. This is a revolutionary approach that's enabled over 12,000 people to stop a wide variety of undesirable emotions and behavioral patterns. And she's going to talk to you about how she does that. And we're actually going to bring her back separately just to talk about how to erase beliefs, but I'm sure she's going to address that today. She has personally worked with over millions of individuals from around the world, and she handles issues from every gamut, from eating disorders to phobia to depression to procrastination, and how to have healthy relationships, which she's going to talk to you today about how to have those healthy relationships with your children and how to make that work. She helps business people. She helps families. Just across the board, she is just one of the smartest, savviest, most intuitive, most visionary, most loving, most gifted people I have ever come across. And we are just so honored to have her today. She's a keynote speaker all around the world. And the fact that she has taken time out of her schedule to work with us is just really such an honor and such a blessing. So we want to talk today also about her course and her classes. She has something that she calls Parenting the Lefko Way. And she'll talk about how many years that she's been working with this process and how she's worked with her own children and her own family. And I know that even in being with her, I feel more loved. I know that she knows how to love at a deeper way than almost anybody I've ever met on the planet. And we've talked about before that this coming weekend is my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And Shelley and her husband, Morty, have this extraordinary relationship, and they've been able to embed that in children and other loving families around the world. So I just want to take a moment and deep breath and deep pause and deep joy and elation to welcome today's guest, Shelley Lefko. Shelley, thank you so much, and welcome for joining us.
Thank you, sweetheart. How can I ever live up to such an introduction?
Well, it's such an honor. And, you know, as I was saying to our studio audience, this is a privilege and a blessing for me, because so many times people come onto our show and they say this is what to do in this particular venue or this particular thing, and they offer advice, and they may be the top of their field, which is certainly, you know, the guests that we try to bring in, and they offer clarity and vision and direction. But very often I'll say, gosh, I would love to see that. I would love to experience that. And I can honestly say to our studio audience that you, Shelley Lefko, have changed my life. You,
your systems, your unfoldment,
your heart, your spirit, all that you teach, all that you know, all that you give is immense and immeasurable. And there's not a single person on this call right now or listening to this call right now that could not use you and your services, whether it's unleashing something in themselves or deepening the relationship with their mate, with their family, with their children. And so it's just so wonderful to have you here as our guest. So welcome.
Thank you. And I want to congratulate your parents on their 50th and tell
you
that my parents just celebrated their 73rd.
Oh, wow. Wow. So before we start the show, what's the great tip for longevity in a relationship?
I'll tell you something that's pretty mind-blowing. My mother's done a lot of our work, and there's a little tool I will give you before the show is over that can transform the quality of your life beyond anything that anybody's ever given you. And my husband teaches it in a course that he does and teaches you how to use it over time, daily, so that it becomes automatic to you. And my mother took the course, and my father called me, and he said, "What did you do with my wife? You sent me an angel."
And gosh.
And the tip is, well, I'm going to tell you the tips of a great relationship since this is a wedding show.
Yes.
My husband and I are married 32 years, and there is not 32 Sunday. And there is not
happy
a day
anniversary.
Thank you. There is not a day of my life where he does not tell me how much he loves me, how much I mean to him, and he doesn't demonstrate it in some way that he is around me. And I can tell you that the secret to a happy marriage is two things. Number one, before you get married, so this is the perfect audience for me to say this to.
Yes.
I want you to stop and look at the qualities that you want in a person and know that if the person, now hopefully you will both grow and change and when I say change, I mean grow, really, not change, but that you'll grow as you go through your life. And we are all beautiful flowers constantly growing. Having said that, if you look at the person that you're thinking of spending the rest of your life with and say, if this person never changed a thing about him or herself, would I be happy married to them? So the first thing is, don't marry somebody that you think is going to change, that you're going to change, because that doesn't work. So acceptance is huge in a relationship. But what's even more important is the commitment to the relationship. And the only way you could commit to a relationship and say, promise, when you say those words, I promise, I'm not leaving, this is it. When things get rocky, when things get tough, when things get uncomfortable, and I promise they will, you won't have one foot out the door having that conversation. The conversation will be, how can we get through this in a way where we both can have what we want in life? That's a much better question than should I leave, shouldn't I leave, should I leave, shouldn't I leave. But if you're going to commit to the relationship, you have to be with somebody. So when I was 31 years old when I got married, and I said, I want somebody who has integrity. So I want somebody who, when I know, when they say something to me, I don't walk away wondering if it was the truth. My husband has the kind of integrity that I didn't even think existed on the planet. So he wouldn't cheat the IRS if he knew he could get away with it. That's just who he is. I wanted somebody who wanted to make a difference in the world, whether it was walking into the dry cleaner and saying hi and being kind to that person, or somebody who was taking on bigger ways in which to make a difference. So it's not that you all have to be altruistic and everybody has to change the world, but you change the world just being with people and just being a force of kindness, love, and compassion in the world. So that was important to me. That doesn't have to be important to you. I wanted affection. I knew without affection I would wither and die. So I must have that. So I needed somebody who was very comfortable showing affection, kissing, hugging, holding hands. So if you look at the qualities and tell the truth, not what you think should be important to you. If money is important to you, then you better marry somebody who makes money or you'll spend the rest of your life making them wrong. Tell the truth. What are the qualities that you want in a person? Make a list. Then look at that list and say, what are the deal breakers? What are the ones without which I'm not interested? and then look at that person and say, should we get married? And if you do get married, then make that commitment forever and always. And there is nothing more powerful to hold a relationship together. And the final thing is, don't let it get old and stale by taking it for granted. Actually, get up every morning, look at each other, and remember what you love about that person. Focus on, instead of he left his underwear on the floor, wait a minute, why did I marry him? What was it about him? Oh, his sense of humor, his kindness. Oh, the way in which he always brings me coffee in the morning. How thoughtful he is. The way he is when he looks at his children. Oh, that's what I... And in that moment, you will... In that moment, experience your love for that person, and you will live your day from that experience as opposed to some concept of, oh, yeah, I once loved this person. That will keep your marriage alive, Sally.
Oh, thank you so much. What brilliant advice for our listeners on this show. I mean, I hope that everybody wrote these down, and we'll post them on the site and quote you that these are, if that's okay with you, the keys to a happy relationship. And I absolutely, I mean, what amazing advice.
And
truly.
One more last thing. Can I give one more?
Yes, of course.
This is for your children, but I'm going to tell you, it's for your spouse. Validate feelings. So what I mean by that is if somebody turns around, your husband or your wife or your kid turns around and says, God, I hate you. Or, God, you get on my nerves. Just say, wow, you really sound angry right now. Then after that, you can say anything you want. You could say, I don't like being spoken to that way. I wish you could have expressed that in a different way. I'm sorry. Anything you want, I don't care. But the most important thing is to validate their feelings, because people feel how they feel. And until you validate their feelings, they can't hear you. So their listening is closed. So if you say to a kid, you do not hate me. Don't you dare talk to me that way. The resistance causes persistence. So they'll say, I hate you. They will say it out loud, or they'll say it to themselves. I do hate you. I hate you. I hate you. But if you say to a kid, wow, you must be so angry right now to feel like you hate me. Wow. You look at them, and I've done this many times, and my daughter actually stopped saying it, because I would look at her and say, and I'd say that to her, and she'd go, I don't hate you, Mommy. I'm just mad. And I'd say, wow, you're really mad right now. And she'd say, well, I'm not mad, Mommy. I just wish you would let me do it. And the more I got it, the more the feeling went away. Most powerful tool in a marriage. Husband comes home. Dinner's not on the table. And instead of getting defensive, you just say, oh, honey, you had a long day, you're hungry, and you wished you would have walked right in and seen dinner on the table. I got it. You don't even have to say anything else. Nothing. Just that. And they'll look and go, yeah, it's all right.
My gosh, you know, it's so funny, Shelley, because we're talking about parenting today, and I'm so excited to, you know, dive into that. But I have to tell you, the way you love your kids, you know, we've talked about many times on the show over the past couple of months how much I love my parents. And I think, you know, I was in the very front of the line when they gave out parents. I think I was right there. But if I ever did not have the parents I had, I would have wanted to be real to you and Morty, because you guys know how to love. I mean, you really know how to parent, and you know how to love, and I so admire that. And I know that not only do you do it with your own children, but you've taught people how to do this all around the world. And so how did you go from working with beliefs to working with kids and translating that? And, you know, was
my
something
favorite
inside
question.
Of you as you were drawn to? Yes.
Yay, that's my favorite question. So how I did that was, for the first few years that I was helping people eliminate beliefs, people would come to me and say, I'm in pain. Either I can't communicate, I can't stand up for myself, I'm I'm depressed, I can't make my relationships work, I procrastinate. Whatever their suffering was, minimal suffering or eating disorder, depression suffering, underlying those problems were always, listen to me, always negative beliefs. Good enough. I'm not important. I'm not capable. Mistakes and failures are bad. And for those of you listening who are saying, oh, I don't have those, you do. So these beliefs are unconscious. We don't even know that we have them sometimes. But when things don't work out for you, like people have read a lot of books and they say, oh, I know making mistakes and failing is really, really important. And I say, oh, and you think it's a good thing? And they say, oh, yeah. I say, and they say, I teach that. And I say, oh, so when you fail, you say, way to go, Nicole, great learning opportunity to yourself. And they all go, well, no. And I say, really? You mean you beat yourself up? And they say, yes. And I say, and then they get it. And they go, oh, yeah. So you could know these beliefs are not true in your head, but still believe them. So I started working with these beliefs. Life is hard. I'll never get what I want. I don't matter. And day after day, week after week, country after country, because many years later when I started working on the internet now, I have clients in Uganda, Pakistan, I mean, Saudi Arabia. It is mind-boggling where my clients live now. And so everybody has the same beliefs underlying these problems. And they always came from the same place. They came from the early interactions we had with our parents when we were little. So I said, wait a minute. If all this suffering, if all these beliefs that lead to all these problems come from interactions with parents, I have to alert the press. I have to tell parents to be very careful what you say and do with your kids because they're concluding these things. And I became obsessed.
Wow.
I'm on a mission. And I'm very clear. I'm very clear about very few things in life. But I am very clear that if parents were cognizant of what their children were concluding when they walked away from them and became committed to training themselves to have the skills and tools to know what to say and not to say, I bet my life, the world would change.
That's
massively.
That's incredible. So one of the questions I have for you is that we have a lot of listeners on this show that they're marrying somebody that has children.
Yes.
And so they are, especially in today's, you know, age, a lot of times we're taking on the step-parenting role. And whether that's you're just marrying somebody that has a child or very often now, unfortunately, people that go away to war and don't come back or illnesses and you've got a single parent that then, you know, has found somebody and they're able to start over again and then you have these children. And so by having these tools and techniques in yourself, does that not translate whether it's your child or a child that you're taking on and going to be connected with for life?
Totally it does, and it's a whole nother ball of wax. So the basic principle is when you're dealing with children, I don't care if you're a teacher, I don't care if you're a step-parent, I don't care if you're a single mother, when your child or the child in your home is walking away from you, just think about, is that kid walking away saying, I'm a winner? I just made a mistake and I learned something? Or I'm stupid? I'm a loser? I'm a failure? So every time we criticize kids, they walk away saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough is the most common belief that everyone has because as children, we are constantly criticized, whether it's an eye roll or a slap or a you know, somebody belittling and demeaning you. There's lots of it in our childhoods. So that's number one. Number two, let's talk to the people who are going to be step-parents first. So, you know, Nicole could probably teach a lot of you how to walk a tightrope.
Yes, I could. I could probably teach everybody on this call.
That's right. So Nicole is an amazing, amazing, amazing what are you?
Correct.
But in all seriousness, it is a tightrope because you're not their mother. I don't know how many men are listening to this call, but you're not their father. And yet, depending on the age of the child, you are going to be a force, an influence, possibly a guide and protector, possibly an adopted parent. So you're going to have a role in this child's life. And everybody is going to handle this differently. So if the child has a mother, you're not replacing that child's mother, and you need to have a relationship with this child. Now, here's the secret that I think is a great gift for all of you to have. I told my children, do not respect me because I am your mother. I want you to treat me with dignity and respect because that is how I will treat you. That's how you treat people. So the fact that you are or are not their mother is less relevant when you're going to have a relationship of dignity and respect. So if you see a child doing something that you know is going to hurt them, you can say to them, look, I know. Now, again, depending on the relationship, if you're a stepmother and you really are stepping into that role, you don't have to say this. But if it's an older kid where they have a mother, they have a father, you're just coming in, you might say to them, I see you headed toward a wall. I am older. I have some wisdom here. I see that you're going to get hurt. Can we talk about this? I think I can help you. So you're asking permission to support this child because whether you're a parent or a step-parent, I would like to see the days of because I said so end anyway. So even if you're the mother, you shouldn't be saying to your kid, you're going to do it because I said so, that's why. And that gives you the right because you're their mother rather than their stepmother. So we want to change the whole way, the whole paradigm of parenting by actually treating these children as if you are their guardian angels. So they look at you and they say, I don't know what to call this person who just moved in, but man, she is awesome. She only has my best interest at heart. Then you can negotiate with this child. You can create a relationship that's powerful. And you're an advocate, not an intruder. Does that make sense?
It makes, oh my gosh, it makes perfect sense. It's amazing when you say that because my brother is a single dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he has raised his children. And so my parents have stepped in to help him. And my mother, as a grandmother, is the role of the mother. So she doesn't get to be the fun grandmother anymore. She gets to be the mom.
Yeah.
You know, and crossing that line of still loving and still wanting to care and still guiding and giving advice, but still not the mom. You know, and still, right.
See, and, advice, I just want to speak to that for a second.
Yes, sure.
Advice can, given somebody's age, so one of the things that my husband and I are very committed to at some point writing a book about is developmental, age-appropriate developmental stages. And there's a lot of material out there about what a parent can expect at any given developmental age of a child. And I think one of the things that leads to a lot of negative beliefs is unrealistic expectations. So I'll give you a quick example. Morty and I go out for breakfast every Sunday morning, and we're sitting in this restaurant, and there's crayons and coloring books in the corner. So this dad, all of my blog posts come from Sunday morning breakfast. It's really true. So this dad sits down with two young kids, I'm going to say 3 and 4. And he puts the crayons on the table, and the 3-year-old grabs to the crayon basket, and the 4-year-old grabs the other end of the basket. And the father looks at the 4-year-old and says, "Don't pull." And it was very, very, very hard for me to not turn around and say to the father, which I sometimes do, "Did you really expect the child to say, 'Oh, little brother, it looks like we both want the crayons. Why don't we put them in the middle of the table and share?'" Is there a child alive who talks like that?
No.
You know, except Manny on Modern Family. I mean, they're really, you know, parents say to kids when they run around restaurants, "Get over here, sit down, what's wrong with you?" As opposed to, "Honey, I know you're 5 years old and you're full of energy and it's so hard to sit still. But you can't run around the restaurant, sweetie, because it disturbs people. Let's play a game at the table." So in my 8-CD parenting course, I give you table games, restaurant games, things to do with your kids to keep them occupied, because guess what? They want to run around. They're kids. So our expectations for children are just ridiculous. Did you ever meet a kid who, on his way to his room to play with his Lego blocks, is thinking, "Gee, I better make sure there are no toys on the floor so nobody trips"? So one of the things I always tell parents is watch your expectations of children. And instead of making them wrong for not doing, being, or having whatever you want them to be, do, or have, ask questions. Instead of giving advice, ask questions. What might, here's my favorite question on the face of the earth. If you've got nothing else from me, take this. My life was run, as I'm sure many of you listening to me will agree with, what other people think of me. Oh, I wasn't invited to the party. Oh, I wonder what to wear. What are they wearing? I look at Nicole Brandon, who walks into a room in some sexy jumpsuit with this body that would knock you over, and she doesn't care what everybody else is wearing. She wears what she feels like wearing, and she's totally self-expressive, and she's totally gorgeous, and she walks in, and you just look at her, and you just go, wow. Nobody says, "Oh, I didn't know we were dressing up," or "Doesn't she know this is not..." No, they just go, wow. And my girlfriend Annette is the same way. She came to my barbecue in a Betsy Johnson dress and high heels. She said, "I felt like getting dressed. I could never do that before because I worried about what would people think." So I got rid of those beliefs, and now my life is very, very, very different. And here's how you have your kids grow up differently. I taught my kids, no matter what you do, somebody's not going to like it. So you may as well do what you want. Okay? Now,
it's great.
Here's the question. Stop for 1 second before you're about to do something and ask yourself this question. What might the consequences be of my actions? And do I want to live with those consequences? If I hit a kid, what might the consequences be? Not what will people think. What might the consequences be? Well, if a child might not play with me anymore. I might get a reputation as a scary kid. Nobody might want to play with me anymore. He may hit me back, and that might hurt. So with little kids, you teach them what consequences might be, and so they grow up learning how to do this. Now, everybody has a child that will end up in high school or even middle school. When they get there, do you want them asking, when somebody says to them, let's have unprotected sex, let's cut school today, let's do drugs, let's get in the car even though the designated driver had a drink, as happened to my daughter? Do you want them asking themselves, what will people think if I don't, or what will the consequences be?
It's a great question, Shelley. I mean, it's a great question mm-hmm. for anybody in their life.
Yep. See, you will never know what most people think of you. They don't tell you the truth. Nobody's going to say, you know, I really never liked you, or you really get on my nerves. For the most part, everybody has a smile and says, you know, they like you. And when you speak in public or all the things that people are afraid of, you may get feedback. But notice the feedback. I always say to people, when you were a kid, did your mother or father worry about what will the neighbors think? And they will go, oh, yeah, of course. And the ones who say, oh, no, my parents didn't care, I said, yeah, if you came home and said, can I dye my hair pink? What would they have said? And, yeah, I got it. So everybody's parents cared about what people would think. And then I ask all of my clients all the time, did what people thought of you when you were little, first of all, do you know what the neighbors thought? No.
No.
Has it had
right.
any impact on your life at all? No.
No.
It's cuckoo.
Right. That's amazing to think about. I mean, it truly is when we go back in time, and I've had the opportunity to work with you on beliefs and know how, you know, you do some of those paradigms of looking from the outside in and really seeing, you know, what serves you. And it's just, it's an amazing, amazing process. And as you talk about the book and the product that you're creating for the different stages, I would sure love to put that on our site, because certainly we have people that are, you know, listening to this show right now that don't have children yet, but they're planning on having a family. And as you talk about the different stages, what a great way to start off correctly with
well,
a child and to actually, yes.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, Nicole, that I was so excited to do the show, because if my eight CDs, I wish that anybody could listen to when they're pregnant or before they have a baby. Because not only will you learn how to talk to your kids, but you learn how to talk to your spouse. You'll learn how to talk to your boss. You'll learn why you get upset when people say things to you. There's something we call nipping negative beliefs in the bud when we use it for children. But it's the process that I talked a little bit about at the beginning of the show, I alluded to, and it's where we give meaning. So the premise of our work is that events, things happen, and they just happen, and we give meaning to what happens. My boss just yells at me. Well, let's use a wedding example. So you're planning this gorgeous wedding, and something goes wrong. You know, they forget the salmon, or, you know, something, I don't know, happens that, you know, because there's a million little things that can go wrong when you're having a wedding. And the meaning we give it that gets us upset is, it's going to ruin my wedding. And I promise you that nothing, unless the groom doesn't show, nothing is going to ruin your wedding. You're going to stand there and marry, in front of all the people that you love, the person that you've chosen to spend the rest of your life with. Do you really think if the caterer didn't show up, anybody would starve to death? Nobody's coming for the meal. And for 20 minutes in the car going home, they might talk about how bad the food was. After that, no one cares. So it is the meaning that we give the events that cause all of our pain and suffering. And there isn't an event, including getting married, that has inherent meaning. So what do I mean by that?
Yes.
So if somebody gets married, so if somebody comes to you and says, I'm getting married, does
right.
that mean they're going to live happily ever after?
No.
Does it mean they're going to have kids?
No.
Does it mean they're even in love?
No.
No.
Unfortunately,
no. The fact
no.
that you're getting married does not mean you'll stay married. It doesn't mean you're going to have a good marriage or a bad marriage. So meaning is always in your head. So let's assume, everybody do this with me. Close your eyes and imagine you come home and you walk in the house and your fiancé, your spouse, doesn't kiss you hello. What would you automatically think? So, Nicole, give me something.
That they don't love me.
They don't love me. Now, some people say they must have had a bad day. Or, doesn't mean anything, they never kiss me when I walk in the house. Or they don't love me anymore. Where did all those meanings that everybody came up with come from?
Their head, their fears?
Their head. No, not their fears. It came from their head.
Okay.
What do you think? So if somebody walks in a room that you know and doesn't talk to you, what do you think? I think, and then you make something up. My kid just talked back to me. What meaning? What do you think? They don't respect me. That's all in your mind. Before you give the events meaning, they don't have any. So I don't know how many of you know TED, the TED Talks. My husband just got a TEDx talk, and this is what he's going to do the whole talk on. Events don't have meaning. They have consequences. So if you lean out a window, the consequences, you will probably fall out. But it doesn't mean you're going to die. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean that windows are dangerous. Does
that's great.
Sense?
I can't wait. Absolutely. For all of our listeners on this show, we're definitely bringing you back for the Unlimited Life show to talk about beliefs, because there's so much to talk about, and it's such a huge subject, and it's such an important subject. It
yeah.
is so, so, so important. And for all of our listeners, you know, before we even jump on with the parenting, how did someone find you? Do you do private sessions? Can you Skype
I
sessions?
I do private sessions.
Should they reach you before they get married? Yes.
Before you get married, yes. I work with couples too. But in terms of my parenting CDs,
yes.
which is really my commitment today, it's Parenting the Lefko, L-E-F as in Frank, K-O-E, way.com. ParentingTheLefkoWay.com. And the reason I brought up this whole thing about meaning is because if you could, any time when you get married and somebody has children, or you're a single parent and you're just going, oh God, they don't have a dad, everybody else has a dad, that means this kid is going to grow up messed up, those meanings are going to keep you from taking effective action, like, who do I know that could be like a surrogate father for my kid? How can I get my kid a male role model? What are some ideas or ways to do that? How can I find that out? What information is out there? I'll talk to my friends. I'll pick people's brains. When you're not in an emotional state, you can be way more effective in taking steps to rectify whatever it is that you're upset about. When you're in the upset, you're in the upset. So if you say, it doesn't mean anything that my husband's son just stormed out of the room away from me. It has no meaning. It doesn't mean he doesn't like me. It doesn't mean, you know, he's whatever happened, he just stormed out of the room. It has no meaning. Now, how am I going to handle it? Well, I can go to the kid and say, listen, you seem really, really upset. I don't know if I said or did anything. If I did, please feel free to tell me. And if there's any way that I could help, let me know. I don't want to crowd your space. I don't want to step where I'm not wanted. But please let me know I'm in your corner. Even if he hated your guts, after that conversation, he's going to rethink it.
Okay, so that's amazing. And these tools and these techniques. So then what is the real job of a parent?
So your job as a parent is to – so here's the deal. Let's assume I have two kids, all right? I have child A. We'll call him Charlie. And Charlie has the beliefs, I'm not good enough. I'm not important. So look at your iPhone while your kids are talking to you, and they will have the belief, I'm not important. Criticize them, they'll have the belief, I'm not good enough. So we have Charlie who has the beliefs, I'm not good enough, I'm not important, mistakes and failures are bad, and if I make a mistake or fail, I'll be rejected. And what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me. Now I have Steve, my other child, and Steve has the belief, I am good enough, and I'm important. And mistakes and failures are learning opportunities. And my worth and value is not a function of what others think. I want you to bet me money. Which one of these kids, and I'm only talking about five beliefs, we got hundreds. Which one, we actually have thousands, which one of these kids is going to be more successful in life?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so clear, Shelley. So why don't people do that naturally?
So your job is to facilitate your children to create positive beliefs about themselves and life. I'm going to answer your question in a sec, Nicole.
Yes.
Your job is to facilitate your children to create positive beliefs about themselves and life, period. Obviously, to keep them safe when they're little. Okay? Now, there's a lot I can tell you, so I'm not going to go into this, but on my parenting CDs, I talk about why we all grow up afraid to not live up to people's expectations, when not living up to expectations actually doesn't cause fear. So I will give you the most simple, profound tools. And I would do it now. I always say, if I was in this for the money, I wouldn't have gone into the parenting business. I would be telling you how to be successful and how to lose weight.
Nobody has a heart like yours. I mean, nobody has a commitment to creating change and a betterment for children and somebody's life than you do. And not only are you committed to it, but you actually have the keys to help people be able to change their lives.
And I can't give it to you in an hour. I would love to. I would stay on the phone if I could. It'd take 12 hours and give it to you. That's why I created the course. Because you could download it and put it on your MP3 and listen to it at the gym, listen to it in the car. But here's the answer to your question, why don't people do it naturally? This is where the belief stuff comes in. Number one, you're not trained. When you walk out of the hospital, nobody gives you a manual. When you say, I'm marrying somebody who has kids, what do I do? There isn't or wasn't a manual. And the idea, listen to me, the idea that your job is to be responsible for the emotional, physical, spiritual, intellectual development of a human being, and you don't need training for that, is insane. You need training to drive a truck. It's insane. So that's number one. It ain't natural. You know, somebody wrote a book once, Loving Your Child Is Not Enough. It's not. It's not. You need to be trained. This is samurai work. This is sacred work. This is the greatest work you will ever do in your lifetime, to help a human being grow into a self-expressive, joyful, fully passionate, fearless human being. How many people do you know like that? My kids are like that. And I'm not perfect, and they're not perfect, and I'm not saying they didn't have sessions and their stuff, but for the most part, they are fearless. Fearless. They went to an alternative school where there were no grades, no tests, and, you know, people used to say, well, what's going to happen to them when they get into the real world? How are they going to be motivated? And I say, because they're learning how to be internally motivated. And they're very different. I have one kid who, by the way, Nicole, is pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, some wonderful news.
Yes, thank you. She's 30. She has lived in Hawaii for 13 years. She's a surfer and a skydiver. She's been all over the world, and she has been supporting herself since she's 18. It took her 10 years to graduate college, but she did. She did it her way. Very motivated to live her life. My younger daughter went to one of the top universities, the top 10 universities in the country, graduated Scholar Athlete of the Year, and is a half Ironman. Very different kid. One lived in a 12-foot by 12-foot shack that she built on the Big Island for 6 years. The other one has a lot of shoes. They're very different now. The other one just moved to Hawaii and left all her shoes in my garage. But that's another story. But they're very different. They're both motivated to live their lives. And they are...
Go ahead. That's one of the things I was going to ask you is, so the beliefs that you form in childhood, they affect the child later in life. So everything that you instill in that child, that's who they're going to become. That's what
100%.
They're going to take on. That's...
And it's changeable. You know, my husband says the good news, the bad news is your kids are concluding things based on what you do and say every day. The good news is those beliefs can be changed. So I don't want anybody listening to think, oh, my God, I screwed up my kids. As I said, my kids are not perfect. They've, you know, had issues and stuff in their lives, and I wasn't a perfect parent, and even though I had all this information, but we were very different than most people. We were, and my kids are very, very alive and joyful. And when you look at what you want for your kids, whether they're your stepkids or your kids or yours, mine, or ours, we all want our children to grow up to be joyful and self-expressive and contributing members of society, passionate. You know, I look at Nicole, and she's such a role model because she's done a lot of different things in her life. And she's one of those people who says, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done. I've done it. I mastered it. And then she just totally reinvents herself, but always with purpose and passion. Always, I want to make a difference. How am I going to do that? Well, I can do it this way. I can do it that way. You know, but the ability to reinvent yourself doesn't come from sitting and going, oh, should I do this or should I do that? Or what's this one going to think or what's that one? What if I fail? What if I don't make it? What if it's not successful? So what? So what it's not successful? And that's the thing we have to be careful with our kids, because natural, what's natural? What's natural is to say to your kid, well, if you could get all A's in this subject, how come you can't get it in that subject? As opposed to, wow, that's a report card that really speaks to the fact that you seem to be doing well in school. Are you? Are you challenged? I mean, you got all A's. Are you challenged? You know, are you happy at school? Are you learning how to critically think, or are you just ingesting information? And the idea that we should get all A's, I ask my clients every day, do you excel at everything you do? And it's funny, almost always they say no. I had a client on Wednesday, and he said to me, I swear, he said to me, well, I do excel at everything I do. He says, but I don't do anything I don't excel at.
Oh, I know that feeling, yes. So.
And that's the truth.
Right.
So nobody excels at everything. Why do we expect our kids to? It's silly. So what comes natural is to keep asking them to jump through hoops, and they're not circus puppies. They're not here to jump through hoops. You know? They're here to
go. So I understand, and I think that that's to say that they're not circus puppies, but they're children that need to grow and to learn, and I think that all this information, you know, that you're giving our listeners is just, it's so valuable, and we only have a couple minutes, so I just want to ask you, you know, what are some of the principles then that will guide parents towards being the best parent that they could be?
Well, the first thing is get trained. So whether you buy my CDs or somebody else's, but the guiding principle is, when you learn anything about parenting from anybody, ask yourself the question. So Dr. Ferber says, let your kid cry themselves to sleep. So you should stop and ask yourself the question. You hear Shelley's voice in your head, Auntie Shelley's voice, saying, what will your child conclude if you let them cry themselves to sleep? How important will they feel? They have one way of communicating, and it's not working. I don't think that what they're going to conclude is my needs are important, I'm important, and I matter. Babies don't manipulate you. That's just ridiculous. But if you let them cry themselves to sleep, they will learn to go to sleep. They will also learn that they're not important. So here's my three questions, my three words. At what cost will I do what these parenting experts tell me to do? Yes, what they say works in the short term, but in the long term, what's it going to do to my kid? Somebody tells me to hit my kid like Dr. Dobson. Really hit him, Pat. What are they going to conclude? Well, I guess they'll conclude that violence is the way to handle things, and then you wonder why they grow up and they hit. Another insane thing. They will also learn that they are powerless and that you have total power over them. And then when they're teenagers, you want to know, why are they so rebellious? Oh, yeah, because when they were three, I hit them. And if you think I'm kidding, this is what I listen to all day long. So the first principle is, when your child walks away from you, what are they concluding? And, you know, some of it will be intuitive. You will just, it's very logical. If you ignore a kid, they're going to conclude, I'm not important. If you say, because I said so, they're going to feel powerless. So when people used to walk out of my one-day workshop, they used to say, well, I know what not to say, but I don't know what to say. And that's why I created the course, to teach you what to say in every given situation so that your children will not create negative beliefs. And then at what cost must I have it my way? At what cost to that child? And those are really my fundamental principles. Get trained and remember those two principles.
That's great. And then, Shelley, how do people find you again? How do they get your course? I just want one more time for you to share
parenting
with us.
The Lefko Way, L-E-F, as in Frank, K-O-E, Parenting the Lefko Way. If you want to email me, just do it through there, and they'll send it to me, and I will answer you.
I love this information so much, and I think that for anyone, like you're saying, whether you have a child, whether you're going to have children, whether you want to have a better relationship with your spouse,
with your family or even with yourself, that you're saying, what meaning, you know, do I have from this? And I just think that your work and the work that you do and the changes and the doors that you open in somebody's heart and in themselves and the freedom that you give people to grow without being put in a box or hitting walls or getting stuck, it's just, it's priceless. It's amazing. And the fact that you dedicate your life and your heart and your time to helping people all over the world to create these changes and to have these better lives is just, it's
amazing.
Thank
you, sweetie.
You're such a gift.
Thank you. And I thank everybody who listened to me because, not because you listened to me, but because I really believe, I cry when I say it every time. If we raise our children with dignity and respect, if we treat them with dignity and respect, they will learn to treat others with dignity and respect, and the world will work. You treat somebody with dignity and respect, no matter what their religious beliefs are, their political views are. You may not agree with them. You may not be happy they have them, but you respect their beliefs. And that doesn't mean you have to allow. I told my daughters, respecting somebody doesn't mean they get to hit you. You know, I said to them, you know, you can be angry, you can shout and be very angry, but it's not okay to hit, and it's not okay to call me names. You know, another thing is iMessages. When you say to your kids, I don't like it when you, I wish you wouldn't, I feel hurt when you, I get upset when I. So you're owning it, and you're teaching your kids not to be victims. They're not victims. They don't make you angry.
I get to say, I want you back on the show, and I'm so thrilled that you are here with us today.
Thank you.
I respect and honor you so much, and I
thank
know
you,
for
sweetheart.
Myself and for, you know, all of our listeners, we just, such a grand gift to have you and your knowledge and your wealth of information, and everybody should be finding you, working with you, and really finding those tools and keys to opening the door, not just with their children, but with their own lives. So, Shelly, thank you so much for being
thanks
on
for
the show with
me
us
on.
Today. Thank
thanks.
You. All right. Have a great
bye.
Day. Bye-bye. And thank you again. What a wonderful guest today. What incredible information. It's like I couldn't write fast enough everything that she's saying, and I really want to be able to share this with so many people. And so I can't wait to have Shelly back on. So thank you for being with us today. Next week we have Melissa Centeno, who is going to teach you how to buy your dream house. I don't know if you remember, I told you that Melissa helped me sell one of my properties, and we were on a television show, and she's incredible. She's funny. She's smart. She's savvy. She can put you into larger houses than you thought you could afford. And if you have a dream and a vision in your mind, she can help you find that property, get into that property. She really is a dream weaver in the real estate market. And so we're really excited that she's coming with us. And then the following week, we have the Goddess Whisperer coming on and teaching us. That's going to be such an extraordinary show. And then feng shui, and then everything bridal. So stay with us. We so look forward to the shows coming in the future, and today's show was so wonderful. So thank you for sharing today in Hourglass Bride, and I'm wishing you all a wonderful week. Thank you so much.